California and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Kimmy Lee of TripleCrownConch.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we will be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California. Together, then we'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who have signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy Lee. It's a wonderful sunny day here in California. And I have a lot of things to tell people about, so I'm just going to jump right into it before even saying hello to my co-host or our guest. First of all, the March Lucky Mojo newsletter has come out, March 2013, and in it you will see a picture of a very large rock. This is our new adventure, which I am calling Lo the Labyrinth. Tip of the hat to Stan Lee, an old mentor of mine. Lo the Labyrinth is our project to build a labyrinth on Lucky Mojo land for the May workshops. We've contacted with a professional labyrinth consultant, and she will be coming out and walking our land with us and designing our Cretan labyrinth, which will be built of Sonoma Fieldstone from Wheeler Zamaroni. And I'll tell you, the way that just tripped off her tongue as she said it, it just made me laugh. So if you haven't gotten your newsletter in your email, go to one of our Facebook pages, either the Lucky Mojo Facebook page, my personal Catherine Ironwood Facebook page. Click on the link, subscribe to the newsletter while you're there. Get your discounts. We have discounts on destruction products this month. And read the free spells and learn about the labyrinth. Also, we have an announcement in the newsletter of the new workshop that is replacing another one and for May. And this new workshop is with Cast Excelsior, and we'll feature a cast of the usual suspects helping in the background, because this is a CD project of high-tech hoodoo, conjure for the 21st century. Cast Excelsior will be presenting, and some of the people working on the CDs will include Dr. E, who is our guest today, Professor Ames, who is in the chat room, and me, of course. Deacon Millett is another who will be helping. And there's going to be a lot of interesting things on those CDs. It's going to cover about 90 years of hoodoo history and forward-looking into the future. Plus, there's a glass thingy, a secret glass thingy. And all y'all just need to come out for that workshop and get that secret glass thingy, because it's real special. And you get the two CDs. So that's what I wanted to announce as far as new changes in our lives. Next week, we will be having an apprenticeship week here in March 18th to 22nd. If you have time to come out for the apprenticeship and are a graduate, come on. It's 5 days of wonderful teaching, and we'll be doing herbs. It's nice sunny weather, and the spring herbs are starting up. Now, I also want to give a couple of shout-outs to a couple of, to three of my graduate students who have taken the leap into shopkeeping. First of all, to Aura LaForest, who has opened her own herbology shop up in Canada.
Wonderful.
And announced that and this week, and I'm just very proud and happy that Aura has done that. She has come out for some of the apprenticeships, and she showed a tremendous interest in herbology at that time when we were doing that, and I was just really glad to see her follow that path, and that is what she's interested in. Professor Ames, who is working on the CD with the project with CAST, and Mambo Julie, who are both graduates of my class, have just announced that they are opening a shop called the Good Luck Shop in Kansas City, which is apparently very voodoo-oriented. They're also going to be with Hung God Matt is a partner with them. And I was a little interested to see who they note as their sources. I think this is an interesting thing. I'm just going to throw it out there. Sometimes I'm glad I'm not a religious authority figure, because I don't like the way religions lay down authority. I like being a folk teacher. Sometimes, though, people who give initiations and claim authority get their names mentioned in announcements, and others, folk people, don't. And I know I'm guilty of that, too. Some of the people who taught me, I don't even remember their names. But I thought it was interesting that this shop was opening, and the lineage holders all call out the name of their lineage initiators. And this is something that makes hoodoo different than some of these religions that are initiatic. And I've been thinking of this also, of course, while they're having the conclave to elect the Pope. There's hierarchy and there is community. And hoodoo, conjure, is a community. And so just saying that it is interesting to see how people define themselves as to where they learn from and who they learn and what they learn. And one of the things about folk authenticity is that people often want to say, oh, they learned it from their grandma or their grandpa. It was all around them when they were growing up, which may or may not be true. But I'm just going to say here for Michael Maurer, who will understand what I'm saying, and maybe the only one. Michael, if you're listening, you know when they, quote, discovered Doc Watson, and he had to go find some old records, so because he'd been playing rock and roll and wanted to like play like Buddy Holly and things. But, you know, he was his great guitarist, and he came from North Carolina. So he went and got his old grandma, and he got some old 78 RPM records, and he all of a sudden was a folk musician. Lightning Hopkins did the same thing. He had been carving a little career for himself in rock and roll, but suddenly he was discovered as a folk blues guitarist, and suddenly he put away his electric guitar, and he was out there with an acoustic guitar and singing Blind Lemon Jefferson songs, kind of updated with a jump tempo. Well, I'm just saying, in hoodoo and conjure, this happens all the time. And it's one of the things that makes folk magic so yeasty, so diverse, and so different from religion.
Yeasty, I like that.
That was that was preaching. All right, little story. All right, now, onward. Hi, Ali. How are you doing?
Hello. I am doing lovely. Very interesting. Great news. Congratulations to all the graduates and their endeavors, Aura and Professor Ames. I wish them all luck.
Yeah, I do too. I really hope they do well. Mm-hmm. And we're going to follow that with some enthusiasm. Now, we have as our guest today the talented Dr. E.
The great Dr. E himself. Yay.
Yeah. Hi, hon.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure, as always. I love being on the Lucky Mojo Hoover Work Hour.
Well, we love having you on.
We always love having you here. And you are one of the steadiest supports of this community that this community will ever know. And I really, aww, truly, truly appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You know, I love teaching. I'm a big on education, and especially when it comes to the folk practices of hoodoo, as well as, you know, my own personal religious practices. I think teaching really is the key. You know, it helps demystify a lot of the things that are out there, clarify some things, and also prevent some misunderstanding. So I'm all in favor of that.
And quality education is the key there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we love what you do in all the realms that you work in, Dr. E, whether
Thank
it's
you.
Magical, prayerful, religious, spiritual, mm-hmm. educational.
Well, thank you.
And you just do good web design too.
Oh, yeah. That's the legacy I bring with me as an old graphic designer. Just being able to. I'm glad that I can utilize that to help out my friends.
Yeah. Well,
we should put in a mention for the Missionary Independent workshops coming up.
Well, right. That's the thing. I mentioned that with CAST, this new workshop that has been added on with CAST, and we ought to just say, yeah, that's a good idea. Go to missionaryindependent.org, and when you get there, there's a little list of pages, and just look at the one that says workshops, and or you can go to luckymojo.com and scroll down, and it'll say workshops, and that is the page that our lovely Dr. E designed for us, and that has the tickets on sale now.
Yes.
And tickets are selling, and some of these classes have limited seating because of what they are. So be real sure that you sign up for everything you want as soon as you can. Especially this new one, CASTS thing, it just got thrown into the mix at the very end. It's on Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Folks, this one is the one that when the years go by, people will say, I was at that one.
That's true.
It's going to be one of those. So I'm just telling y'all, get your tickets for that one. That is going to be something because it's going to change the way people work.
Yes. One of the things that's really great about the Missionary Independent workshops compared to other various, Conjure and Hoodoo festivals that are out there is you can really pick and choose what you want to attend. So you can work within your budget and work within your interests. But beyond that, you get to spend some quality time just sitting at a table and talking with phenomenal root workers, people that are real carriers of the culture. We are blessed to have, I believe, 4 presenters this year that are African American, that their roots come from this practice in the community. We have long-time root workers like Condra Mali, like you, Kat, like myself and Michelle and all these wonderful people that are bringing unique presentations, stuff you're not going to see anywhere else, at a really reasonable price. And I think that's what's so great is that we're creating and maintaining a community. Like you said, folk magic is about a community, and that's really what we're sustaining here with these workshops.
I agree on that 100%. I really do. And that is something, too. You can pick and choose. It's not like one of those you got to sign up for the whole weekend and then just sort of, be there. There is no double tracking. Each workshop follows one after the other, and then you just take that class that you want to. And if you're not taking a class, you can sit on the lawn and talk. Or there's free potluck food and dogs to pet and children to cuddle. I mean, it's just a big picnic is what it is.
It is. It really is.
Or you can get readings. There's open tent readings. Some people take appointments that you can schedule a reading at certain times if there's a workshop you don't want to attend and you just go to a reading at that time. Or there are people who can just, anybody who is willing to read can come in and set up. I'm not going to, stop anybody. If you come with a sign and set yourself up and say readings and free for donations or here's a set price or however you want to do it, there will be tents open for readers. So that's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives people an opportunity to give readings if they're learning how to become readers. You can trade readings with other people. And so that's another one of the activities that goes on kind of on the side when people aren't actually attending workshops. It's a big, big
right.
party. That's what it
is. It is. And you get to experience readings you're not going to see anywhere else. I mean, I'm going to be offering Tarot readings, which, I love doing that. But I'm going to be offering Santeria de Logun readings. These are cowrie shell readings. Well,
mm-hmm.
that's something rare that a lot of people don't get to experience in person. And once you've seen one done, you see just how complicated and amazing of a system it really is.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
We're going to have people reading bones in person, which that is something, again, unusual. You don't see very often. So there's even lore and practices preserved just in the activities that we offer. You know, and it's
right, right. And,
geomancy. Conjure Manali is doing his geomancy reading.
Yep.
Right, right. And I was thrilled to find out that Cast, who I know as Cast, he has a whole other reality as Bone Master Ka. And I just love that name.
Oh, I love that.
Bone Master Ka will be reading the bones, and that's going to just be wonderful too. And I'll be doing palmistry and other things. And everybody has their, you know, and Madame Nadia is going to be there, and I believe she's going to be doing Lenormand readings for people, Lenormand cards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be quite the thing. There's going to be something for everybody, and of course the classes and workshops. Every one of our classes and workshops, you have a take-home. We always have people have something to take home. In most of the classes, you're going to be making something. If you're not making something, you're going to be given a lot of things to take home with you to work
right.
on. So it's a hands-on thing. We really love that. And Papa Newt says he'll have his bones with him, too. Wonderful. That's wonderful. And this particular year, we have more members of AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, signed up to present and attend than we've ever had, and so it's going to be kind of like old home week for AIR members.
Mm-hmm.
And
meet your favorite AIR member too.
Yeah, you can meet your favorite AIR members. That's right. And we just hope it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, enough of that. We're running over time talking about all that stuff. We have a panel discussion, I hope, and what we wanted to talk about today, Dr. E is bringing this to us. And this
mm-hmm.
is
a great topic too.
This is a great topic. Go for it, Dr. E. Tell us all about it. Nosy
well,
neighbors.
You know, we all kind of can't really choose our neighbors. We can choose where we live, but we can't necessarily choose our neighbors. And having recently moved to a new beautiful house and a beautiful neighbor, I have a troublesome neighbor in this neighborhood. And she has actually called the fire department on me 3 times for burning my lights in my back patio. And I've even had the fire marshal come out to my place to assert that everything is fine, everything is within code, and everything is being done very safely. However, this person keeps going at it, and they're starting to call my property manager and cause problems. So I thought today's topic, it would be very apropos if we spoke about ways to deal with troublesome, meddlesome, or difficult neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think we've all had one at some point or another.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. I am kind of well known for hot-footing my neighbors and making them move away. I did that at my previous residence with a man who was complaining about noise, even though I was, like, quiet as a mouse. And it was really something as simple as just doing the old-fashioned trick of taking hot foot powder and sprinkling it under his doormat when he was away at work. And and there it stayed for a very long time. And once a month, I would go and touch it up, you know, just for good measure. And after 3 months, he moved. He just spontaneously decided to move in with his partner and left. I'm telling you, sometimes the real simple old stuff works. Yeah,
well, this brings up something, and we were just talking about this right before the show started, so I'm going to leap right into it. A lot of people are afraid of their meddlesome neighbors. Well, people are litigious. They call the cops. Maybe not everything you're doing can stand to be looked at by the cops, or maybe were raised to be afraid. And, you know, for one reason or another, you feel you might get picked on if the cops are called. So people are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But in the old days, most of the kind of work that we would do to get rid of neighbors would be what, Dr. E, what you just said, hot footing. You'd put some powder down, and they're going to step in it. This is contact work. Contact work's an old term for it. Foot track magic is another term for it. It's got to contact them some way or the other, whether on their hand or their feet. We like it on their feet if they're going to make them walk away. But people are afraid, and so they say, well, what'll I do? Well, first of all, you're going to mix that powder or whatever you use with local dirt so it don't appear so dramatically different in color that they, you know, notice it. Because I had one lady, client friend of ours, she got arrested for sprinkling white powders around a courthouse. Well, duh, it was white, and she didn't mix it with dirt, you know.
Right.
They let her go. They laughed at her and let her go. But I'm just saying, you know, be careful. Exercise common sense. Number two, when I was a kid, when people wanted to really, you know, heat up a situation with a neighbor and drive that person out the neighborhood, they would take war water. And I'm just saying, war water come in a bottle, and it says war water right on it. and that's a glass bottle, and throw it at their house, preferably at their stoop, if they had a concrete stoop, if they're down in the city, you know, and just break that thing. Well, they come out, and they're going to see that War Water label right on the bottle. Well, if you were a little bit chicken, you could take and soak the bottle and take the label off, so now they just have a broken bottle, and they think, well, I don't know what that is. But if you really wanted to really let them know, and fear is part of magic, let them see that War Water label. Well, now in the forum, people come along, Lucky Mojo forum, and they post, is it really necessary to break that bottle of War Water? Couldn't I just unscrew the cap and pour it on the ground?
Mm.
And I'm like, where's the war? Where's the war? Come on.
It is very much an act of war.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you're
not
cooling their doorstep. You are creating a shattered, horrible, stanky mess. That's the point.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, I think one of the things that a lot, and this is not just in doing hot foot work, but in any type of work, is that you can understand that magic does take courage. It does. And means get out there, because I hear this for everything, not just hot footing work. Do I really have to walk to the crossroads to pour out my bath water? Do I really have to bury that in my yard? I actually had a client, and I kid you not, they told me that they couldn't bury anything in their own yard, their private yard, because their neighbors were nosy and would look and wonder what they were burying. Well, it's your yard. Who the hell cares what the neighbors think? So that's very important. You've got to understand, if you're going to do this work, there is an element of courage. Now, hot footwork especially, you're taking on an aggressive action. You're trying to drive someone out of their house. If you don't have the courage to get up and lay some powders out because you're too afraid they might see you, then you don't have the strength to remove them. You know, that's what it is. It's a battle between you and this person. Are you going to walk up there and do your work? Now, if you're smart about it, you conceal the powders with dirt, you go late at night, there should be no problem. I'm telling you this as a person who's laid down so many powders in his life, and it's actually far easier than you think. And
it's
the reality is that, because we know what we're doing, we're naturally going, oh, what am I doing? The other person goes, what the hell is that? It's dirt. You see, they don't put two and two together always. So you've got to build up that courage, which leads me to one of my favorite types of hot foot and dealing with a neighbor. This comes out of a very old technique back in the day, both a prank and a technique. There was a prank that the kids of my youth used to do, is they would fill a bag with dog shit. Light it on fire, leave it on a doorstep, ring the bell, run away, and the guy, you know, whoever opens the door, they see the fire, they stamp it out, and naturally step and ship. Well, a similar technique is actually lighting hot foot incense right on the doorstep and walking away. And that's particularly good stuff because it's literally setting fire to them. You want to be careful. You don't want to set it, you don't want to set fire in around dry brush or anything like that, cause a fire. But putting some incense on the doorstep, if you want to take it another step further and ring the door and, you know, run off, you can absolutely do that as well. I've done that in the past, and it works really, really well. I like incense powders myself for hot foot because it has that heat, that explosive element to it that works really well.
Absolutely.
That's a really good one. Now, there is another aspect to this, and that is eggs. They are also used to get someone out. So go ahead, tell us.
Well, I'm saving that for my favorite spell at the end.
All right. Well, we'll get to that one. That's going to be the free spell at the end, and how to use an egg to get rid of somebody
out
the neighborhood. Okay, I'm going to tell you something else then. When you do this kind of work, one of the things that you should do is put down some protection around your place. In other words, always work out of a defensive, armored, shielded aspect. So if you are going to hotfoot a neighbor, it might be a good idea to nail down your property or use four knives and put the knives blade side out. Or if you can get it, Red Devil lye cans, they still make it. Don't look as pretty as it used to with the little devils on them, but get some lye and put that down. Something that you have some guardian around your place that is sharp and cutting, burning, whatever, because you don't want them coming back on you. You want to be the aggressor here, and you want to do it fast. Okay? So another thing that I always tell people is if you're going to do this work, first of all, take the measure of your own territory. and see how you feel about defending it.
Right.
Yeah. Make sure you cleanse yourself after doing this type of work, too, and call in the spirit of the person you're working against. These are ways that are also quite protective. So you're ensuring that you're not messing yourself up or anyone else. You're calling that specific neighbor into the work, into the powders that you're laying out, and followed up with a nice, good cleansing. You don't want to go to bed after you've been messing with some hot foot powder.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
You need to clean yourself up. Now, when you do this kind of work against somebody, when you're going to try to hot foot a neighbor, I'm going to be realistic here, and you guys tell me how you've experienced it. If they rent, you can pop them out of there very quickly.
Yes.
If
yeah.
they own, it's going to be more difficult. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. That's very true.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. So you can do it.
Well,
you can do it. I've had clients drop their house and just, I mean, not clients, but targets, right. drop their house and disappear. But you're right. It is harder than a person who rents.
Well, I have a different approach that I take. If it's because, see, I'm a renter and a meddlesome neighbor is actually an owner. So I see myself at a bit of a position of disadvantage in making them move away. So I have two options, okay? I can either go after their finances and make them tank so that they get foreclosed on their home, which is very common nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I can just make them be nice. And this is how I'm going to do that. I'm going to make a special batch of maple-flavored cupcakes, and everyone knows my cupcakes are delicious, and I'm going to make sure that I put some slippery elm in that cupcake in some form, because it has that maple-y flavor to it, and the maple will disguise it, as a stop gossip, shut up cupcake with a sweetening element to it. So it's like, please speak to me, shut up, stop calling the fire department, and be a good neighbor. Okay?
Right.
So that's kind of the approach that I'm going to take with that, with this particular neighbor, in addition to doing the egg spell I'm going to talk about at the end. But this is another approach, which is get them on your good side so they stop being a pest.
And you mentioned the fire department. You mentioned the fire department earlier. I mentioned the police, and that's another aspect of this kind of work. If the neighbor is the kind that calls authority figures of any kind, whether it's the dog catcher or the neighborhood watch or whatever, on you, you want to have the names, if possible, of the head of that hierarchical system, the police chief, fire captain, whatever it's going to be, neighborhood watch captain. You want to have those people in some sugar around you, and maybe offer them a cookie. Maybe they'll say, no, I don't have a cookie on my, you know, when I'm working. But, you know, you can offer it to them. In any case, you want to have them on your side as well.
Right.
And I've even known some older types of spells in which, if you were going to be doing that kind of thing, you could take the name of the police chief and burn it to ashes. And this is the living police chief now, not some dead guy. Take the name of the police chief, burn it to ashes, or in your case, it would be the fire marshal, and burn it to ashes and smear that ash line across your steps so that you are basically protected by the person who they're going to call to attack you. In other words, you turn the trick on them. They're going to call the fire marshal. The fire marshal's going to come out, oh, well, I'm already protecting this place, right? Because you've made it protected. Yeah.
So that's a great way of working. Very great way of working.
And then you can turn it around. I was going to say, then you can turn it around and make it into a harassment case, because the authorities already know they've given you their blessing, and this person keeps harassing, so the tables get turned.
That you bring up an excellent point, is that dealing with troublesome individuals and neighbors and whatnot doesn't always mean going reaching for the hot foot powder. You have to know what to do or decide which approach you're going to take. In your case, a little bit of stop gossip work and sweetening them, putting them on your side. That's an excellent way of working. I think a lot of people assume that you have to go for fire and brimstone in order to be successful. No, you can do you can move mountains with a little bit of sugar and honey. Okay, so that's something that people should realize. And then the next step, you know, if you can't get them on your side, freezer spells actually work just as well. We often talk about freezer spells in the context of court case work, but they also work quite well with neighbors because it freezes their ability to work against you. It doesn't make them move, but what it does do is it makes them keep out of your business. It freezes their power. So putting them with some alum, putting them in with urine, and freezing that will keep them from meddling in your business. So there's levels of working and ways of working and different approaches you can take with working against a troublesome neighbor.
Yeah, right. that is a good one, freezing them. Another thing is, too, when you're working against a neighbor who is living there and owns the place, I know this is maybe a little over the top, but I have counseled people who have decided that the only way they're going to get that person out is that person becomes injured or dead, injured or disabled in some way and needs to move into their daughter's home or something, you know. And that takes it a little bit beyond the level of meddlesome neighbors. But mm-hmm. that kind of work is done, and we should give it a little nod of the head. In other words, if you can't get them to move on their own 2 feet, you might get them carried out, is what I'm trying to get
right.
at. And it can be done. I'm not recommending it as the go-to first thing to do. But Miss Michael says, yeah, get them their dream job at another country. Miss Michael is so lady-hearted. That was so sweet. Yes, get them a job in Paris, France.
Yep, just as effective. They're happy, but happy far, far away from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all righty. Well, we've covered a lot of territory here. And I know that there are many, many ways to do this kind of work. And we'll go back to this at the free spells, and we'll have a good spell on this. Let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, because we do have some people who've called in who are waiting for us to do readings. Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And thank you, everyone. And a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali. And this week's special guest, Dr. E, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. Our first client is calling in from the state of Texas, area code 832. This is Charisma. Charisma, are you there, caller?
I'm here.
Great. Well, welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our hosts know that you have had a prior reading with Ms. Kat privately in the past about another situation, and you have not gone to any other, I'm just going to read this, I have spoken to other readers, one from the shop and one from AIR, who both say that your situation can be reconciled, okay? And I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for our host, and she writes, "My husband ran away without a word and left things behind on February 21st. I've had no communication with him. I've been working reconciliation daily." Turning it back over to you.
All right, Charisma. I'm very sorry to hear that this happened to you. And I noticed you've also posted about this in the Lucky Mojo forum and have gotten some good advice there. That's correct?
Yeah? Yes, that is correct.
All right. All right. Now, when you say there was no warning, nothing, that you didn't all have a fight or anything like that, I want to make this real clear for me and for the other reader and also for our listeners.
Right. Well, no, we didn't have an argument that day. I would say Saturday we went out, we were shopping, we had a good day. However, you know, I have custody of my stepkids, and we had a situation where she's 15, she brought someone in the home, so we kind of, you know, he told her she got to get her things and get out the house, and I said, well, that's not the way to handle that. You know, so he's kind of like, well, you want to be my mother? And I'm like, no, I don't. But you have to consider the fact that that's still a child. You know, and you mm-hmm. don't have a handle on the situation. Also, Ms. Kat, let me add that we have spoken about him in the past as far as drugs go. And it was something
yes.
that you told me to get a handle on. And I have tried to, you know, basically have a handle on everything. But in the midst of it, we have 4 kids we adopted. So I think I've been a little inattentive
yeah.
a little bit.
I understand, and I do remember also that you posted in the forum in the thread on disrespectful teens, and there was some issues
yes.
there, right? So
yes.
you've got, you basically are trying to hold a family together that is comprised of some people who are not with the program. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Now, you're doing reconciliation, and I'm going to say one thing before we start. Reconciliation would not be my first choice here, and I'll tell you why. You actually have not so much had a fight as I believe he's in trouble. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
And I think there's more to this that you might want to try some return to me as well as reconciliation. But let me do my three cards and we'll see what I got, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, the first card is the Nine of Swords. Whew, that's a bad card. All right, so this is a card of a person who wakes up in the middle of the night crying with nine swords overhead. They represent nine worries, anxieties, fears. They're in a single bed. Well, he's gone. And there's a sword fight depicted on the side of the bed, carved in the wood. And one person is stabbing another through the heart. And the only good thing about this card is that if this person would take their hands away from their eyes and stop to crying, they'd look and they'd see this beautiful quilt, this friendship quilt, and there are checkers boards on it, and half of them, every other square has got a red rose on it, which stands for love, and every other square has a sign of the zodiac on it or a planetary symbol, which stands for the multitude of friends and supporters and people who do care. And I'm looking at that card and I'm saying, there's, you know, you have stated this in such a quiet, calm way, but there's a tremendous amount of turmoil beneath the surface here. And I'm not trying to expose the amount of emotional pain that this situation has caused, but I see it in this card. And you are much to be admired for carrying this thing with grace, because it's a pretty bad situation, sweetheart, and it doesn't look good at all. Okay. Now, the next card is the card of Temperance. This is an angel. And now we have a kind of a double meaning of the word temperance. Temperance literally meaning, you know, being even-tempered, but it also is a term that has come to mean swearing off and not using alcohol or drugs. You know, the temperance union, they called it. And this card shows an angel holding two golden goblets and pouring water from one to the other. And this is why people have said there will probably be a return. There is a possibility here of a return. It's not, but what's happened is disastrous. And on the angel's right side, there's the, from as we look at it, it's the angel's right side, our left on the card, there's a pool of water. And in order to get back on the path, you have to go through the water. You cannot go around on the land, which is on the angel's left side, because it's all blocked with plants and flowers and things growing. You just can't get through that way. And there's a rock, too, a couple of rocks. So what we say is that in order to get back on the path, and there is a crown at the end of this path, and that crown does represent heaven. In order to get back on the path, you need to go through water. Well, to go through water means to, you know, in church, it means to be baptized, it means prayer, it means spirit. So there is a connection between you and him. The angel says there, these two cups, they're still, the water is still flowing between them, almost electrically. But the angel says you're going to have to go through spiritual work. You're going to have to do a lot of prayer. I am concerned about this man's safety. Are you?
I am. I did a missing persons report on him. I have to add this. I did a missing persons report on him. They did find him. He was with. He was riding in a car with some woman, and she was saying, you know, basically what I was told is she's a very young girl, and the gentleman felt like there was something more to it.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, from there, I don't know where he is.
Yeah, right.
And I kind of feel like my mother-in-law has a part in it, but I fought this before 8 years ago, and I feel like it's the same people that's involved.
Yeah, this is a situation that I'm worried about. This may not end well. I mean, this card, Temperance, well, you're going to see him in heaven anyway, but let's just hope you get to see him on earth too. So what I'm concerned about here is, are you doing okay? Are you able to hold yourself together? Are you able to hold the family together?
Well, having four adopted kids, it's been very rough because our youngest is four. She's asking for her daddy every night.
Yes.
My 10-year-old is saying, I didn't think he would be the one to abandon me, too. You know, so it's not, as far as the kids go, they're really broken. And I'm like, I fought this battle. I'm trying to just remain optimistic, but then there's a bitterness, there's a hurt, and it's like I have to resolve this somehow.
Yeah. I'm going to give you the third card here, and this card is it's a dignified woman on a throne, and it's called the High Priestess.
Okay.
And this is a woman who has a behind her an embroidered cloth with pomegranates bursting open, which represents fertility, children, and also sacredness. In the old Jewish temple, everything was embroidered and carved and decorated with pomegranates. And she sits between two pillars, and she represents the Queen of Sheba, King Solomon's African wife. And she sits between these two pillars that were the Boaz and Yachin, strength and establishment. She's all dressed in flowing robes of white and blue, and she's a very wise woman. I'm hoping that you can do something to get this man back, but I'm also saying that one of the things that's happening here is it's almost like what's happened, you are the one who's left in charge here. You are the High Priestess. And there's a lot of strength to be drawn from your inner spirituality. This woman is multicultural. She is. She has a triple moon crown on her head, like a Egyptian pagan type, goddess worshiping culture. She has a cross on her chest, like Christianity. She has a Torah in her lap, like Judaism. She has a crescent moon in her feet, like Islam. She just represents the confluence of wisdom of all ages and all places. That is you. This is serious business here, honey. And there is a possibility of getting him back, but it's going to be done through water and through prayer. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Dr. E and see what he has to say.
Thanks, Kat. Hi, Charisma. It's nice to meet you. I'm sorry to hear about the situation you're going through. And interestingly, while Kat was reading, I was laying out cards as well. And I also received similar cards. I received the Temperance card. And for me, in my reading, I received it in the obstacle position, which tells me that the problem has to do with his temperance. I echo Kat's concerns that he may be back into drug use again. And I also got another card here in my deck that really talks about the false concept in his mind that he thinks he can handle this himself. And anyone who's wrapped up in an addiction, they can't handle it themselves. They have zero control over that substance. And so what I'm seeing here is he thinks he can handle it himself, and he's somehow sparing you, or thinks he's sparing you the difficulty and the sadness by doing this on his own. But the problem is he can't do it because he's facing the drug use. And what I actually have as a final outcome is also not a real strong card, and it actually talks about two issues. For me, it's the Two of Swords card, which for me shows a woman seated on a bench, blindfolded, holding two swords crossed across her chest, and behind her is a sea that is starting to become tumultuous, like a storm is rolling in. And this card for me talks about being at an impasse because you have two very difficult decisions and two very difficult situations that you have to balance out, and feeling like you can't act on either one because if you act on one, the other one will cut you. And if you act on the other one, then the first one will cut you. And so this particular situation is a reminder for me to tell you that there are two issues here. There's one, being a good mom and caring for your kids. And then two, worrying about your man. And they're two different things, okay? So one, you care for your kids, be that good mom, be that good support, be that high priestess. And know that you have the support system and the people around you to make sure that you will have the support you need to turn around and support those kids. Okay, that's one thing. The second thing is your man. And right now, what I get from my cards is that your man is in a situation where he thinks he can help himself, but he sure can't. And that's why I think Kat's recommendations to do the return to me work is the right idea, because I don't get that there's a falling out from you. I don't get that there's an argument with you. I get that there's a falling in to problems with his substance abuse and consequently has neglected all of his responsibility and sort of cast everything aside and is in this whirlpool of shame and use and shame and use and shame and use. So there's some work that's going to need to be done to help him forgive himself, face his shame, and sort of man up and come back to you and say, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, I can't handle this myself, I need help, I'm going to do that help, but I need you to support me with that help and be my reality check when the time comes when I think I can be Superman and do it myself, for you to tell me, no, 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 you can't do this yourself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that part of it, and then there's also the part of, you know, protecting him as well as protecting yourself. So Conjure Mentally has got a nice, big, hefty plate of recommendations to give to you because this is a complex situation. But I echo a lot of what Kat said and just supporting her message there that temperance really is the obstacle, and that's the main thing that you're going to have to cross to get where you're going. All right? My love and luck to you. Let me hand this over to Conjure Mentally and see what he can advise.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with everything that has been said here. I will say one thing, that this has been coming for a little bit. So while you two may not have had the falling out that the readings have been talking about, this has been coming for a little bit. The work that I recommend is, you know, a lot of people talk about ancestor work, and they talk about it in the terms of protection. They talk about it in terms of just spiritual work. But ancestor work is also great in situations like this, to bring a man home, to restore a family, because his ancestors will want him to be safe. His ancestors will want him to be away from drugs. His ancestors will want him to be away from trouble and, you know, continue on with the family that they've decided. So what I want you to do is actually a lamp work. This is an old working that I learned and that I've used in the past with great success. What you're going to need is a kerosene lamp, okay? And you're going to put in the well. You're going to put in there, you're going to put angelica root, which is excellent for protection, but also helps a woman to gain control of an unruly man or to overcome a difficult man. You're going to put in there a little bit of rosemary. Rosemary gives women the upper hand. It brings tranquility into the house. Basil for peace. You know, as long as basil's in the house, evil will not be able to enter, so basil is good. But basil also brings clarity of the mind, which is what he really needs right now. You're going to put violet leaves to heal the heart and restore the love. Rose petals to draw you two together affectionately once more. Then I want you to get two lodestones. You can, if the well is big enough, you can put two small lodestones, or you can put two lodestone grits. Name one for him and one for you. Feed it a little bit of magnetic sand so that as the lodestones attract one another, he is drawn back to you. Okay? It's very good for return to me type of work. And I want you to include balms of Gilead and, if you can, just a pinch of the graveyard dirt. And you're going to fill that with kerosene. You're going to pray it over. Keep his, if you have his personal concern, like a used sock, what you can do is you can tie it. You take a piece of it, tie it in a knot, place it in there. If you have his hair, place it in there. Put his picture, your picture of a family together. I recommend one with you and all the children, not just you and him, okay? And you're going to put your petition on the back of that photo, and you're going to put that in the well as well. And you're going to keep this lamp near a window or near your front door so that you're guiding him back home, and you're going to light the lamp, and you're going to regularly tend that lamp, and you're going to pray, and you're going to go, no matter where you are in the darkest night, in the deepest depth, this light will lead you back home. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to do is you're going to work that light over several days. If you can keep it going continuously, try to do so. And lamp work is really great like that because it builds power over days, you know. So you've got that flame going, and you can increase the fire, you can keep it low, you can refill the well with the oil that it needs, you can work, you know, change out the wick, but keep it going as long as you can. And what that lamp will do is it'll allow the spirits of those herbs, it'll allow the spirit of his ancestors to really act as a shining beacon for him, because he's a ship lost at sea and he needs that lighthouse that returns him back. And that's what this lamp will do for you, okay?
Yeah, and gosh, that brings to mind that old hymn, "Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me."
Amen.
That's Yeah, he needs help, and that is a beautiful spell, Ollie. Just beautiful. The things you've included in that are wonderful. Dr. E will be teaching a class on lamps, mm-hmm. working with lamps at the May workshops, and there will be some text that goes along with that, which will be in the Black Folder book that comes out this year. For everybody who's interested in working with lamps, we do have some pre-material available. I am very, very much of the opinion that that is going to be what's needed. And what I love about lamps is what Ollie said, no matter what kind of lamp it is, whether it's a vegetable oil lamp, kerosene oil lamp, whatever, you can refill the reservoir as it burns, and that's real important. I've done spells with a kerosene lamp that I've kept them going for 2-3 months before the wick actually even is used up, because kerosene, the wick burns very, very slowly because of the way they're super highly engineered. And you just keep on adding more kerosene and just sort of slowly turning that wick as it burns down a little bit. It's pretty amazing how long one of those will go, and that's a good way to work for this case.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yep.
Beautiful. All right, hon. Thanks for calling, and we wish you all the best. Stay in touch through the forum if you need any help. We are there to help. And I know you're an intelligent person who does have support with these four adopted children. You do need a community around you. You know that, and you know how to get the help you need. All right. Well, God bless you. Oh, and please put up some prayers at the Crystal Silence League.
Yes.
CrystalSilenceLeague.org, and just list up those prayers for his healing, for his return, and for the strength of yourself and the children. We would all be proud and happy to pray for you. All right?
Okay, and also let me just add, I do have candles on Lucky Mojo's altar, and I just ordered some for Dr. E as well.
Oh, wonderful.
You're
all
in good hands.
We're all praying for you and working for you. Great. Missionary Independent
so
Spiritual
much.
Church, Mother Katrina and Brother Lou will be serving those candles for you. All right. Thank you so much. All right. Good
Thank
luck to you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Miss Tammy Lee, who's next?
Yes, ma'am. Miss Kat. And support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from New Jersey, Central New Jersey, from area code 609. This is By the Bayou. By the Bayou, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi. Welcome back to the show. I'm
going
to go ahead and you're very welcome. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you are calling back in, but this is about a different situation that is unrelated to your previous call, okay? And he writes, I would like guidance and clarity on what type of job and where to find a full-time job that is metaphysical, religiously, or spiritually related, but still able to sustain myself financially in a full-time manner immediately. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, Ollie, you get to read.
Certainly. A couple questions here. You know, whenever it comes to job questions, I often have to remind people that there isn't, you know, a card that says, oh, you should work at Verizon, or you should work at Macy's, or you should work at... Okay, so there's no such card, I'm sorry to say. What we can give you is general trends, where it's headed. You should be in retail, you should be in private practice, something like that. Now, a couple questions before I dive right in. You're looking to get a full-time job that is metaphysical, religious, and spiritually related. Have you looked, and you're asking where, have you looked at the local occult shops around you or spiritual supply shops? Is that what you're looking at doing? Are you, what specifically is the criteria besides being metaphysical, religious, and spiritual related? Because that could be anything from, oh, I've decided to take on, you know, priesthood, or I've decided to become a shop owner that sells candles. What have you looked at so far?
Well, I've actually just stumbled upon Hoodoo within the last 2 or 3 years. And eventually I do want to become, you know, a caseworker or, you know, a root worker. I've been doing, you know, readings and things, you know, on the side for now. But essentially I've been working in retail and things like that. But I want to do something that is related to, you know, the, you know, spirituality or metaphysical, you know, this or something like that. So at least I can get some type of, you know, knowledge or backbone in that field. So I'm not just working regular, you know, everyday jobs, something that's related to, you know, what I want to do eventually.
That's a very valid, you know, way to go about it. I've pulled 3 cards here, and I'm going to tell you that right off the bat, that I don't see you going into a spiritual career right away, that you're going to have to work your way up. The first card we have here is the 3 of Pentacles. The 3 of Pentacles is in a church, which indicates that your end goal will be working in some fashion towards, you know, in some spiritual fashion. You want to become a root worker someday. This is a particularly auspicious card and indicates that you have the innate ability to do so. However, you're not quite there yet. You have to work your way up. This person is a mason who's working on a beautiful cathedral. Above him is an arch with 3 pentacles. It's the only pentacle card that doesn't have golden coins in it. It indicates that you're going to have to work under the supervision of someone. There are 2 individuals watching. One is a monk and the other one is the architect. One is probably financing the project. The other one is the mastermind behind it. So what I see here is that you may end up actually working in a retail function or working in some type of shop under someone else, that you will be building your skills upwards. You won't be able to go into practice for yourself right off the bat. You won't be able to, you know, put up your shingle and say, oh, I'm a root worker. You know, that's not right off the bat for you. You're going to have to first start off by working at a shop, working with someone else, building your skills up. This is also a card that indicates to me that if you have not yet taken things like Miss Cat's course, you need to do so. Okay, she may be the architect in this card that's guiding you. If you have not done hands-on apprenticeship with her, like she's offering this month, as well as before the workshops, and then also the workshops itself, do so, because this is a very hands-on card. This is not an intellectual learning. It's about a learning hands-on. You're building something. So you need to create the foundation, just like this church is built on a foundation. You need to create the foundation for your success. The next card that we have is the Justice card, which often relates to things, legal matters, but it can also talk about balance and harmony. There are scales here that they're holding up in a sword in the other hand, and what this indicates is that you will be doing this in a dual function. So you may work part-time at a metaphysical shop, for example, while carrying on having a quote-unquote day job, okay? Mm-hmm. And that is going to be for a little bit in order to bring some form of harmony and balance into your life before you're ready to dive right in and, you know, take up the mantle of a root worker or a spiritual practitioner. Because the finances from the metaphysical aspect, that 3 of Pentacles, has no golden coins. There's not going to be much money in it at first. Okay, so the Justice card is about harmony, keeping your life in balance, making sure that you have your needs taken care of, that you're never leaning too far to one side. The sword is straight up, the scales are balanced perfectly, which means you don't dive right into spiritual work at the detriment of your financial situation. Right? And you don't go to a completely materialistic job without some financial, without some spiritual connection. So it's about balance. The final card is the Hermit card, which shows an old man, wise man, on top of a mountain with a staff in his hand and a lantern in the other, and he's wearing a cloak. This is actually a very strong hermetic card. He's wearing, you know, he's got the staff of the patriarchs, he's got the lantern of reason. This is very tied to the spiritual mysteries. This indicates that you will need a guide along this path. Again, if you have not yet signed up for Ms. Cat's course, if you have not taken the apprenticeship, these are things you need to do beforehand. You need to have someone walk you through the well-worn paths before you're ready to go forth. I do, however, see you taking on the mantle, just like this old man, of a wise man, a teacher, and a guide, but not for many, many years. It's probably, I would say, about 2 to 3 years out before I see you taking on the function of a root worker or taking on the role of, as a practitioner in your own right. Until then, it's a building up process, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
I'm going to, since my name got mentioned, I'm going to jump in here. Nice to meet you. Now I'm going to ask you a couple
of
questions.
Okay.
What's your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Sagittarius. My Leo's rising. My moon is in Scorpio.
Okay. All right. And how old are you?
I'm 21.
21. All right. All right. A 21-year-old Sagittarius has a lot of future ahead, and it's going to be very diverse. Sagittarius is a mutable sign, and I'm just going to do a really little quick astrology reading. I'm glad you know your rising sign and your moon sign, because I can just do a very quick three-point reading on that. Sagittarius, as you know, mutable sign, it's fire. It's the sign of philosophy, the sign of religion. So it may be that the religious aspects of this might be very appealing to you, even possibly more than the root work aspects. In other words, sitting around making oils and compounding incenses might not be the path for you, but religious understanding and philosophical understanding may be more appealing to you. Teaching also is something that Sagittarians do well. The weakness of Sagittarius is that they change their mind after about 2.5 years, and they go off and do something else, right? So that was a good call on Conjurman Ali's part about 3 years, 2.5 to 3 years. I was going to say 3 years based on that Three of Pentacles. If in 3 years you have not jumped ship on this, then it's time to really act. But you are Sagittarius. Now, I'm not saying that in a way to make fun of Sagittarians. They have one great idea after another, but they are like a flame that flickers and flickers and flickers, and they blow hot and cold on things, and they are wonderfully adept at compiling philosophy, not so adept at running a shop. You know what I'm saying? It's just not their thing. Now, you have Leo rising. Leo is all about the importance of ego and the importance of giving, the importance of leadership, the importance of generosity. Everyone knows that Leos have a great deal of personal charisma. When they walk in the room, everyone turns and looks at them. They are good leaders, proud leaders, and they are also loyal to their troops. They are the lions of the universe, and we love our Leos. We really love our Leos, and a Leo is a flame, but it's a fixed flame, and so that is where if you can. Even though you yourself internally may be coming and going, if you can present a coherent persona, because remember, first house ascendant is your persona, you will be seen with a great deal of charisma. Now, did you say your moon was in Scorpio?
Yes.
That's where we get the long-term work, because that's another fixed sign. And Scorpio is deeply mysterious. Scorpio is fixed water. Fixed water is like ice. It is like the iceberg that sunk the Titanic, 9/10 of it below the water, 1/10 of it above. You never know what a Scorpio is thinking. Everything they're doing is deep, and everything they're doing has to do with sex, birth, and death. I mean, these Scorpios are the ones that are deep, but this is your emotional component. So you might find yourself doing some things that revolve around some very deep practices, and they may have a sexual component to them, but this is your emotional interior life. So although you are a Sag, you do have two very strong fixed signs that ground you. Leo, your charisma. Would you say that you're a good-looking person, or that people would be attracted to you when they see you?
Sort of. Average.
Average. I want you to work on that part of yourself. As a person with Leo rising should be able to come out of the box and say, yes, I can hold my head up with the best of them. I'm not saying that you're going to be Mr. Beautiful or Mr. Handsome or, you know, the heartthrob of millions. I'm saying, when you have Leo rising, you have one thing going for you, which is that you can stand up in a group and people will look at you. So make sure you do your body justice, your clothing justice. And Leos are known for their interesting hair. And, of course, nowadays many people shave their heads. That's just as interesting. But Leos do like a head of hair.
Well,
and,
I have been known for dressing very well, though. So
good. All right. All right.
Good.
So stretch your stuff. Stretch your stuff. That's
how I do.
All right. So what I'm seeing is, based on a three-point program here, Sagittarius, Sun, philosophy and religion, Leo rising, that is charisma, and the moon in Scorpio, something deep, You may well gravitate more toward the religious aspects of this and the philosophical aspects than the hands-on sitting around dressing candles portion of this work. How, and you might be a writer too, because Sag is often right, but you should get some training and grounding. That is definitely true. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Dr. E. What do you say?
Thank you.
All right. It's nice to meet you by the bayou. And
thank you.
Yeah, you. The beauty of this is, you know, you're coming to us very young in life. You're 21 years old. You've just been through the astrological event, which is your Jupiter return, and Jupiter is your planetary ruler. So you've had the first sort of view of the spectrum of your identity, and now you're entering the second cycle of that, a more mature cycle. This is where we break away from our childhood and move into our adulthood and get to experience another layer of our complexity. I echo exactly what Kat and what Khandriman Ali have said to you here. And having lived with a Scorpio, excuse me, having lived with a Sagittarius for 3 years and knowing the energies associated with your sign very deeply, here's what I'm going to recommend for you. First and foremost, you are, at the heart of things, a wandering philosopher. Okay, and you need to wander and learn and discover the philosophies that are out there in this world in the entire realm of spirit, not just root work. Okay, and the way that you learn who you are as a Sagittarius is through your encounters and exploration with other people. So what I'm going to recommend that you do is study 7 different spiritual paths. Okay.
Wow.
And I don't have to tell you to like study these to the point of being a master. I'm telling you, study them until you understand what they're about.
Yeah.
You understand the cultures that they're rooted in, and talk to the people that are in them. There's a reason I give you 7. Okay.
Wow.
7 is not only a very mystical number, but it's going to force you to move beyond the real traditional spiritual path of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and Buddhism. You're going to have to go beyond that, okay? That's why I give you 7. And you're a Sagittarius, you'll probably bore at about number 4 or 5. So that's okay. That's totally okay. 7 is something to aspire to. I want you to at least investigate them and see what's there, because I think you're actually going to find elements from each of these paths and kind of craft your own unique take on them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So there's a twofold part thing here. You got to explore and learn and get yourself a master, an apprentice under them once you find the right fit. Okay, so that's the one hand. And then the other hand is you got to work on your identity, and that's what Kat was talking about, presenting yourself with this charisma, this wow, this sizzle factor, the thing that makes people go, I want to learn from this guy. I want to go hear his philosophy. He's traveled the world. He knows what he's doing. Okay, so our objectives are that. Here's how we do it. First and foremost, I think you should get your hands on some clarity bath crystals, and you should make these into a bath and cleanse yourself with them. I would recommend doing one at the beginning of every week while you are studying these different paths, okay? Because you want to get a real clear vision of what's the right path for you. And when you do the bath, I want you to really focus on cleansing your head and your face to clear your mind and approach each path with a fresh new attitude, okay? So you don't drag the stuff you've just learned into the new thing, all right? So you're going to do that. You're going to couple that also with a mastery mojo bag. This is the part of mastering yourself, your identity, your career, and all that stuff, so that in your process of learning and getting clarity, you're also developing your identity and your persona, and you carry that on you while you're doing this work. These two things together are going to help you see clearly what's my spiritual path, where do I belong, how do I relate to that, and then you'll know what to do with your career. And I absolutely agree with what Khandriman Ali was saying. It will take you 3 years to find that path, find your master, apprentice, and get to a point of confidence enough to where you can be doing this full time. In the meantime, you will be doing your current day job or whatever day job you can get to give you the money to be able to go and explore and do these other things. But know firmly in your mind that it's temporary. These are temporary jobs that are putting food in your mouth and a roof over your head while you can study what you love to do, and you'll transition slowly. It'll be like 90% day job, 10% spiritual work, and then those will start to switch places, and by the end of 3 years, it'll be 90% spiritual work, 10% day job, and you'll chuck the day job and just be doing your spiritual work for full time. Okay? So do the clarity baths while you're exploring and finding that path. Once you find the path, stick with it. You don't have to do the clarity baths anymore. And keep working that mastery mojo bag during those 3 years. Remember, at the end of the year, you need to get it refreshed mm-hmm. so that the root worker that made it for you can replace some of those lighter bits and just kind of tighten up the energy and keep, make it strong again to keep you going for those 3 years while you master this path, okay? And
okay.
you're not going to ever be really good at the business side of it, and that's okay. That's totally
yeah.
okay.
Yeah, we all saw that one.
Get a handler. Get a handler, literally.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
good, prominent spiritual figures have a handler. That's the person behind the scene that's doing the books, that's doing the scheduling, and that's keeping them on task.
Okay.
Know
yeah.
your strengths and know your weaknesses.
Yes,
I am terrible at keeping a clean house, so I have a lady that comes and cleans my house, and I pay her for it, okay? That's the same kind of thing, okay? You're going to pay a handler, and you're going to have enough money to pay them, too, all right?
Okay.
So you can
yes.
focus on your spirit and focus on your identity, all right? That's what I'm going to recommend for you.
Thank you
Wonderful.
Very much.
Thank you,
Thank
Dr.
You.
E. And I just wanted to point out that in the chat room, Nagashiva put up a couple of really good links. One was to the Arcane Archive, and the other was to sacredtexts.org. And
yes.
That is where there's a lot of good information about the different paths and different religions. Thank
it's
you.
It's funny, I was just on there today. So
really?
There go.
Good.
Yes,
All right.
I'll definitely be on there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank
All
you
right.
so much. Bye bye.
Miss Tammy
You're
B., who's up next?
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and just a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can call in during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. If your call is selected, you will get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in to each and every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Standard Time. Our next caller is calling in from area code 843. This is Star 81 from Charleston, South Carolina, a new caller to the show. Are you there, Star 81?
Yep.
Great. Well, welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and I just let the host know that you're brand new to the show, and thank you so much for joining us this evening. And she writes, I've been in a relationship for 13 years with my ex. We broke up in April of 2012. We have 4 children together. In January of 2013, we started living together until February the 19th of 2013, and he kicked us out. We do communicate via text and phone. Turning it back over to you.
All right. This is interesting. Our second call with 4 children and a gone man.
Is your question, will he come back? Because I didn't hear a question.
Yeah,
will we be back together as a family?
Okay.
And, you know, will we be married next year?
Got it.
Well, all right. I'm sorry to hear about this, and let's turn this over to Dr. E.
All right. Since this is a pretty, you know, binary question of, you know, will we be back together as a family, I'm going to go ahead and use the Chamalongos, which are a binary divination system that comes from Palo. So bear with me for a moment. I'm going to be praying a little bit in African, and then I'll go ahead and follow with a series of questions to get some details for you, okay? Con licencia, se me pongo con licencia de mi tata, con licencia de mi yaya, con licencia de jumbo de mi tata, con licencia de jumbo de mi yaya, con licencia de mi jumbo, aquí está, etcétera, en Gobataya, asking to find out whether or not the caller will be able to reunite with her ex and be together as a family. Will they get together as a family? Okay. All right, so my cast says yes, you will be able to get together. It came where the first cast had 1 dark side up and the second cast was all 4 whites up. What this indicates is that you will have peace, but in order to attain that peace, there will be a period of struggle and a period of effort and work that needs to be done. And work can take 2 forms. One is spiritual work, you know, doing spell work and so forth to return that person to you. But the other part is personal work, working on yourself, on your boundaries and the definitions that you've set for your relationship between you and your partner. There needs to be some type of shift and adjustment in the agreement that you have with your partner so that they don't feel like they need to keep running away from you and running away from the situation. You know, there needs to be some give and something worked out, but it has to be done mutually between you and your partner, okay? This is where you need to have one of those difficult discussions once you get this person back and say, I don't want you to feel like you ever need to run away again. So talk to me about what's weighing on your heart. what is it that we need to work out and shift and adjust so that this can be a mutually beneficial relationship, and so that, most importantly, our kids can get the support that they need. Okay, that needs to happen once this person comes back into your life. Return to me work would be best in order at having success at getting that person to come back to you. Is the other person safe? Yeah, I'm getting that the other person is safe, okay? So I don't see that your partner is in any trouble or anything like that. I think this was really just one of those situations where someone hit their breaking point and in a moment of frustration just said, yeah, you know? And there needs to be some clear, open, and honest discussion taking place between those things. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to my comrades here to have them read a little more deeply into it. But to give you a firm answer, yes, you'll be able to work this out. It's just going to take some work, okay?
All right, Ollie.
What I've done is I agree with Dr. E there. I have cast a geomantic chart, and I'm reading it here. I agree. There are a couple things I do want to add. When we look at the right witness, the overall answer is that, yes, you can reconcile. The judge in the geomantic chart is Fortuna Minor, which that yes, you can. However, you will likely, what will happen is that first and foremost, you'll reconcile temporarily. You might break up one more time. I do see another reconciliation breakup cycle ahead of you, okay? You're also going to likely need a third party to come in and ameliorate the situation, perhaps a root worker or someone who will step in, because Fortuna Minor is
yes.
about outside help, right? It's not about the internal ability to help. What I will say that in the seventh house, which is the house of reconciliation and love, I see Rubius, which is a cup overturned. There is a third party here. He is probably, if he's not with someone yet, he will be with someone shortly. There is a meddling party that is in this situation. It does not look to be a love situation. It looks to be more related towards physical. He is looking to sleep with someone and hook up with someone. If you don't know who this person is, I do recommend doing a little digging around. I sense that he will be with this person shortly. I do agree with Dr. E that reconciliation is possible. Return to me work is quite good. I recommend baths because we have as the projection of points or the hidden factor here, we have Albius, which means white, but it's a goblet. And the goblet addresses the overturned goblet of Rubius. So what you want to do is address that overturning of love and peace where he's going and seeking sex elsewhere by doing bathing work to draw him back and rekindling the romance between you. So he sees you as the source of comfort, source of love. So that's what I would recommend for you. I'm going to hand this over to Kat to see what she gives you specifically in terms of root work. But do be aware that there's one more cycle ahead of you and that there is a third party here, and you will need likely a professional to step in for you, okay?
The other person, is he going to be serious with her or not?
No, it's a sexual relationship. You do know there's someone there?
Ma'am, do you know that there is someone? Ali asked.
Yeah, I know there's somebody there.
Okay.
So the reading was right there.
Yeah.
He called it. We give him the point on that one. All right. I'm going to take this in a little bit of a different direction because this is our second call with this type of a situation, and I'm concerned. Is he helping with child support?
Yes, he's mad at me because I put him on child support, so that's why we're going through the things we're going through right now.
I'm going to say something right up front. A man who is mad at you because you put him on child support is a man who is not a man. He's a man who's a selfish
right.
little boy. And you know what I'm
Ain't
saying?
That the truth? That
is bad. So some of the problems here, they're not your problems with him. They're his problems with himself. The other party that he's interested in, which Ollie called, is someone who doesn't make that much of a demand on him for that. So he thinks he can escape back to his youth and he doesn't have to take responsibility. Well, that's bad. Now, I do think that that relationship with the other person can be truncated, shortened, if you want to do some work. So the first thing you might want to do is some breakup work on them. Now, you can get the other party's name?
Yes.
All right. So, you know, have you ever heard of a breakup bottle or a breakup spell?
I was thinking about getting Conjurement Alley to do some work for me. And, you know, I'm getting in contact with him right now, you know.
All right. Well, if he takes your case, he certainly can do it. Not every one of us takes every case, but this one sounds fairly justified. But what you're going to want to do is a breakup spell to break him apart from the other party. And then you start at the same time or right afterwards some work to draw him back. Does he come and see the children?
Yeah, he comes gives them Tuesday and Thursday, then every Thursday through Friday through Sunday.
All right, good. Well, you're better off than some ladies, I'm telling you, some of these men. But this is good. He's at least in contact. I'm going to tell you a very quick one that you can do. You can make him more likely to come back if when he comes to see the children, one of the things that every parent always does is pet the child's hair or head. It's just automatic. People will put their hand on the child's shoulder or pet the child's hair or head. And so if you can get a little bit of some oils that just you might use to oil the children's hair anyway, but any kind of these peaceful home, return to me, those kind of oils, and put them just a little bit. You can dilute it with any kind of lotion or oil or whatever you're using on those children, and put that in their hair, on their skin, upper part of their body, on their shoulders, but especially in their hair. Pray as you do that that he will come to his senses and come home to the children. You see, then when he touches the children, that will move his heart. You see. You get where I'm going with that? Now, that is contact magic, and that is different than, I mean, you can hire someone to break them up. That is one thing, but what I'm talking about is contact magic to make him, his heart soften and come back home, you know?
Yes.
You get what I'm going at?
Yeah. Can I just jump real quick in here, because I love that. Mm-hmm. Coming back home, contact work is great, but what I also would recommend is if you can cook or bake some sweets that you've used, some sweetening conjuring.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just took it right out of my mouth, Ollie.
Right. Oh, I'm a psychic, I tell you. And you put a little bit of your sexual fluids and a little bit of sweetening thing, and you leave, you know, some cookies, some baked goods right on the counter or the table. So when he comes in, he has some of that as he's visiting the kids. That's also that'll really augment that contact work you're doing.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Feed him. Feed him stuff with your sexual fluids. And another thing that I would do, if you can in any way, if you have something of his hair and the children's hair, try to bind those all together. Use a little bit of glue and make all the hairs be together. I just glue the tips at one end. And then some people will either braid the hairs together or twirl them together and make a little thing out of those hairs and say, we will always be family, so that a hair of every, or even a few hairs of every family member is in this little braid or twirl or twist that you've made. And when you have that, put that away someplace in the home where he can't see it, and always work with that, the idea of letting him come back into the family. He'll come back. He'll
right.
come back.
Right.
Okay. I wish you all the best. You do need a professional root worker. We all have seen that. You will not be able to accomplish this entirely on your own, but there are people willing to help. And you can do a lot for yourself as well, because you have the aspect of contact work with him. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Good luck to you, baby. We wish you all the best.
Good luck.
All right.
Best.
All right. Now we're going to come to the free spells portion of our show. So let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she'll make her announcements.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and a reminder to everyone, thank you so much, Dr. E of theconjuredoctor.com in Los Angeles, California, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. And Dr. E, with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you for our free spell this week.
Okay, thank you very much, Tammy Lee. Free spell I'm going to present today is the process of using an egg to affect those medicine neighbors in two different ways. Okay, so one is going to be to make them go away, and one of them is going to be to make them shut up. Okay, so you have two options here. In either case, you're going to prepare the egg the same way. Just go ahead and get yourself a good old-fashioned hen's egg, and you are going to very carefully poke a hole in the top and the bottom of the egg, so the pointy tip and the fat bottom of the egg. You can use a coffin nail if you'd like for this. You can even use something a little more modern, like a Dremel or something like that, if you want to be a little more precise. But you make a hole in each end, and you very carefully blow the contents of the egg out into a bowl. And it's going to take a lot of blowing power, okay? So just be careful. If you find that it's too hard to blow it out, you can also use a little plastic squeeze bottle, like the kind that ketchup is on, like at a restaurant table. And you can use an empty one and kind of blow the air through the egg that way, and it'll empty it out into a bowl. That egg, you can go ahead and scramble up and eat it if you want, okay? Because we're not going to use the contents. We're just going to use the shell. Then you can go ahead and load that egg up by sprinkling some various things inside of it. So for the one to make the neighbor go away, you can load that up with some graveyard dirt, with some sulfur, with some black pepper, cayenne pepper, little crumbled up red pepper, any combination of those. I typically like to use things in threes. So you could use graveyard dirt, sulfur, and black pepper, for example. And load it up into that egg real good. And as you're loading it into that egg, you are going to pray that egg. And you're going to say, "You are my bomb of vengeance. And as I throw you over my enemy's house, the powders within you will disperse all over this person's home and make it a living hell for them to live within it. They will be haunted with the spirits of the graveyard dirt. They will find it irritating and uncomfortable to be in the home and will want to move away." And you can seal the ends of the egg if you want with a little bit of black wax as well. Okay, so that's the one for making them move away. With the one to make them shut up, like in the case of my neighbors calling the fire department, you can load up that egg with some slippery elm, some calamus root that's been powdered, and some blackberry leaf. The slippery elm will shut them up. The calamus root is controlling and makes them do as you say. And the blackberry leaf snags up the efforts of your enemies to try to get you in trouble. So you're snaring them, you're shutting them up, and you're commanding them to do right by you. Put that all in that egg, and you pray it. You're going to be my bomb of justice, and you are going to silence the tongues of my enemies. You are going to shut them up and stop them in their tracks and make the authorities see them for who they really are, so they will not pester me any longer. And that one, you can seal up the ends with some purple wax dripped off of a candle. Now you've got your magical bombs, okay? And in the dead of night, when no one can see you, go for a little walk in front of your neighbor's house and hurl that egg over the house. Try to get it to crack either on the roof or in the backyard, preferably the backyard, the roof if you don't have a very good throwing arm. And as you do it, pray that God listen to your petition. Make this evil person go away or shut up, depending on which one that you want. And then just turn around and walk on home. So it's a real simple little spell you can do.
Beautiful. That is wonderful. That is really,
I
really
love
good.
It.
All right.
Good work there.
All right. Thanks very much. Let's take it out with Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. And we invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from AIR will be Flora from the great state of Oklahoma of TheGoodLuckLady.com. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TrollCownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live from Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Thank you so much, Dr. E, for being a guest on our show.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on. It's always a blast.
Oh, you're wonderful, and we really always have such a great time.
We really do.
And, Ali, any closing words from you?
Absolutely. Be sure to sign up for the Missionary Independent Spiritual Workshops. I mean, this is going to be a blast. You get to see all of us there. Dr. E's teaching his oil lamps, Kat, her candle magic, you know, and of course, release of her book and skull candles with me. Hopefully we get to see you all there.
That'll be great. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody who comes out in May. In the meantime, we have an apprenticeship coming up in just a couple of days here in March. So we'll be at the chat room. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.